This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, by the time this goes out, it will have been about 300 days and still no word from Rhapsody. I understand that you're busy and I'm cool with that. No pressure whatsoever. I'm just saying, I really don't know how much time I got left, and it would mean the world to me if, you know, I was just hear from you. We could chop it up one time.
Maybe get on
a podcast. We ain't got to do that. I'm just saying, you know, like.
Cut it up for the cut up.
You know. Clock's ticking, babe. All right.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicator.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like it's Neanderthal. Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Hands up in the air. I just want the baddest beer in the world right here on my lap.
I don't even know why they censored that.
And I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma hit this ass up like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it at.
Whatever. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I must thank you first and foremost for, you know, taking a little bit of time out of your day, chill, hang out with me. You've done it. Some of you have done it for 221. This would be 222 episodes. If this is your first episode, welcome. But you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. I got my homie once again with me, Alexander MF.
Hey,
please say the MF or don't say it at all,
because it ain't MF, baby. It's AMF.
AMF, MF, Alexander MF, that nigga over there, whatever you want to say.
I've been called all the above.
Don't trust them new niggas over there. Anyway, I don't even know if I can call him a nigga for real, but I did, so it is what it is.
If nigga, you wouldn't be the first one of my brothers that did that.
But
you'd be the first one that I feel uncomfortable saying it back to.
See, that fills my heart with joy. It really does. It really does. But yeah, it does. It does. I like making people uncomfortable racially. But anyway,
no, it's not because I feel uncomfortable racially. It's just because I don't identify as I used to identify back in the day.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
You changed, man. You went from Murder Mace to a preacher.
I went from Murder Mace to Preaching Mace.
I got you. I feel you. It only takes one decision to change your whole life. But yeah, all right. So I wanted to do this episode. I'm doing this episode before. It will come out after I've had the surgery. So it may come out posthumously. Is that the word?
Posthumously. That's the one.
I like to have fun with morbid shit. Like, you know, I tell jokes about the suicide attempt and the death picture that I think I still got it downstairs somewhere. I don't know. Do I? Where the fuck is the death picture?
Some dark shit, bro. I'm darker than you.
Whoa. I'm caramel. Anyway.
It's caramel, baby.
Nah, bro. That's chocolate. That's blonde. That's, I don't chocolate. Know what the fuck that is. That is. If that's caramel, I don't want it, bro. Put that back. That needs some more time on the stove. But yeah. But I'm having surgery this week. The week prior to this going out. And it's on my wrist. So the doctors literally will be slitting my wrist.
They will be slitting his wrist right
over. They're going to be turning me into a cyborg, dog. They putting, I'm getting metal plates and screws and all that shit. It's $6 million man type stuff, you know. They can rebuild them. We have the technology. And hopefully I'll have use of my right hand again so I can actually lotion my left elbow, which I feel I've neglected for so long.
That shit looks bad.
You ain't had to. You could have made me feel better about it.
You should get just. Can I? You should get like a saucer and just like dump some lotion.
But you gotta rub it in. You gotta rub it in.
Just go like this and then put it on your thigh.
Put it on. That's actually a good
idea. Squirt it on your thigh and then rub it in. You know, don't lie. That was actually a good idea.
First of all, let that be the last time on this show you ever say the phrase, squirt it on your thigh, rub it in. that we don't ever need to go there ever.
But never again. Let that be the last time where you will not ever think about doing that as an application for lotion to that white elbow you got over there.
You could have made me feel better about it. You had an opportunity to like.
I provided the solution, bro. Get a saucer, not the thigh, and then do the rest, whatever that is.
I feel like that would be like dope OnlyFans material. If I put that on OnlyFans, would y'all subscribe? Me dipping my elbow into a saucer or lotion? I would
say yes to that.
And rubbing it into my thigh. it sounds gross and like efficient at the same time. Like I really want to just go downstairs and get a saucer or lotion right now.
Let's see what it is.
Just work it out. Get this alligator elbow thing sorted out. But yeah, I'm going in. I don't think I've ever had surgery as an adult. I had surgery as a kid. Funny story. I like to tell
what
a funny
for?
Story. I had a growth in the back of my throat. So not the tonsils or the adenoids, but some other thing was swollen.
They had to go anectomy.
And they had to surgically remove it. And so, all right. Here's a funny story for you.
Come on.
My mother, Flan Dog. Hopefully, I hope I tell this story right, because every time I mention her...
Can I call her Flan Dog?
No. Don't do
How
that.
How about Flan Mama?
She likes Graham.
How about Mama Flan?
She likes Graham. Graham.
Okay.
She's a grandmother
now.
Do
it for Graham.
Do it for the Graham. I ain't going to do it. So my mom, sweet old lady, you've talked to her. You've talked to mom. So I was like 3 years old when I had this surgery. 3 years old. And so... She has a thing where, like, in traumatic situations, she's either going to break down crying or she's going to laugh hysterically. And it's not because it's funny. It's just, like, her traumatic response.
Coping, yeah.
Or she just laughs. So we're going into the surgery. And I'm telling this story as it's been told to me because I was three. And I was the one going into surgery. So, of course, I don't know this shit to be fact. But the doctors warned her. Before we go in there, that you know, we got to put him under, and when we give him the anesthesia, some babies convulse; they have seizures. Mm-hmm. You know, so of course, you know Murphy's Law. If it could go wrong, it did. So they give me the anesthesia.
You start seizing,
and I start seizing, and my mother breaks out into hysterical laughter.
Doctors. That's crazy.
The hysterical. So my godmother was with her, and she's like trying to, you know, trying to either get her out the room or calm her down or whatever. But it was her response to seeing her baby thrashing around on the operating table. But that's the last time I had surgery that I know of. I know I had that. I told you I had that procedure to the esophageal varices. Basically, holes in your esophagus that I developed from all of the retching and vomiting from the alcohol abuse.
Oh, I just got a different picture in my mind of something else happening. And the same being the outcome.
Dude, like, this don't need to be
related to what you think.
This
bro. Don't not need even to, related to what you think.
Not while you're drinking that coconut milk, whatever.
Stop being racist.
It looked like a bottle of whatever. But anyway.
Why you gotta go there like that?
I'm just saying, like coconut drinks usually come in like cartons and stuff.
You can't see it.
So you can't see it. But
these
I can see
really
that.
These are good ones though, bro.
If you say so.
It says de mi país. But these motherfuckers ain't from my país. This is from Vietnam.
So why are they putting Spanish on
they're
the shit?
They're doing it, dog. Because they're marketing to the people that want to buy it.
Just rep where you from. Be you. Be who you are.
We all eat coconut water and juice and coconut meat.
Not all of us do.
Us, Islander kinds.
You from an island?
Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic is where my family's from.
Where are you from?
I'm living in Austin, Texas.
Where are you from?
United States of America.
United States of America. It's a big ass island, I guess. No, I don't know.
You lucky I didn't spit back into the diaphragm just now.
Now we're talking about diaphragms. This shit is getting worse. Anyway, so what I wanted to do.
I got to throw something out there later at some point about what I'm doing here.
Okay.
For anybody that might be listening, go ahead.
What I wanted to do
for
my
last
this episode, my last episode before, you know, I go into whatever, before they put me under. Because I think that, don't they say that's like the closest to death you could, like when you, blah, blah, blah.
It's been stated.
That's pretty like, close,
you know,
to
coming there. Yeah. Other people say it's like just going to sleep. Some people come out and they're like, "Are we done? Did we even start?"
Yeah. I mean,
is this the real world?
They say sleep is the cousin of death, but that's some sleep for real. That's sleep.
My sleep's been traumatized recently. I've been screaming, dog. Unrelated. Keep going.
Yeah, let's keep going. We're gonna bypass keep that. Going. But so I see a lot of memes on Facebook. I see them all the time. They're like, you should speak to people or talk to people every day as if this is the last time you would ever talk to them. So that if this was the last time you spoke to that person, that you would be happy with the conversation that you had with that person, you know, if this was the last time. And in my morbid sense of humor, I feel like this could possibly, and it, I mean, realistically, this could possibly be the last podcast, whether I was going into surgery or not.
Right.
But I am going into surgery, and it is going to be on my wrist where there's vital things there, and they are putting me under. And I do have to have somebody come pick me up and stuff because I ain't going to be right when I come out. So there's potential for things to go wrong. So I figured now would be the time, MF, that you could just throw questions at anything you ever wanted to know about me, about black people, about DC, about whatever. Just get it. If this is the last time you get to ask, me anything, or get to inquire about anything, or get to talk to me about anything, just throw it out there.
So this is me interviewing you on your deathbed.
If you want to take it there, we can take it there. In my death chair.
What's your biggest regret?
My biggest regret. Whoo! Oh man. How much time we got?
Just zoom out. Overall, beginning to now, what's your biggest regret?
Man, like I want, you know, we just had the episode where we talked about, you know, abortions,
right,
and the decisions I made in that avenue. And there's a part of me that wants to say that. I think my biggest regret is, I don't know, like just not in the time where it would have been easier for me to do, like, living up to my potential. I honestly don't think, and I don't want this to sound cocky, but I have never done anything full speed. Like to this day, I've never like put everything into anything. You know, so whatever level of success I've achieved in anything, it's been like not, the gas hasn't been all the way down. And I don't know if that's for fear of what I might not achieve if I ever did, you know, like I think I have this idea of, you know, what I'm capable of. And if I don't reach that level of what I'm capable of, I somehow have the built-in excuse where I never like fully tried. So that's why it didn't happen. But I was definitely capable of it.
Yeah.
I could have done it. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I mean, I just ain't never tried that hard. I think that's probably the reason. But I don't think I've ever like full speeded anything. And I think if this would be it, like, I would regret the fact that I never, like, really put my all into it. Like, this podcast is probably the closest I've ever come, but I still don't think, like,
Parenthood? Avoiding all barriers that are in the way between full-time parenthood and, you know, parenthood as it is now. How do you feel you've been putting into that?
I mean, if I have to be honest, I don't think I've been full speed parenthood. I think I do.
I'm gonna use that word you said I can't use.
I do a lot, you know, to try to feel like I'm having an impact, and I'm, you know, and I'm a part of my daughter's life. I don't know. I look to her in terms of like how well I'm doing, like, you know, the relationship. I'm happy with the relationship that we have, but I definitely think there's probably more I could be doing. You know, I could be checking in more. I could be, you know, there's some limitations there, but those limitations I could be solving, you know, my mobility and things like that. Like, there are things I could be doing to be more available that I'm not doing. If I got to be honest with you.
Having had stated that stuff, specific towards the parenthood as a father, do you feel that maybe you might set into motion moving forward a plan to eliminate some of the barriers?
The plan is always there. It is.
How about the action?
It is the execution. Yeah. so many things. And I talk to people about this all the time, like, you know, just getting out of the planning phase. And not even getting out of the planning phase, but executing while planning. Like, not just not getting stuck in the planning phase. Because we always want to do it the right way, or the most effective way, or the most efficient way. Rather than just doing it. Like, you know. And I take it back to the podcast thing, because people ask me all the time about, like, podcasting and how do you start. I'm just like, man, it is talking into a mic and publishing it on the internet. So if you got a microphone, which you do because you got a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to do a podcast.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Record yourself and then post it somewhere. And that's it. You know, we want to have the production value, and we want to have theme music and a logo and a website and all the other things. You know, our co-host or whatever, you know, but some of that stuff will come. And so, yeah, I just gotta, like, make moves, pull triggers on things, and just do.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of fear in there.
Presuming I was to die tomorrow, and this was the last conversation that we were gonna have, what question would you want to ask me?
Man, what question would I want to ask you? What is your biggest regret?
Damn.
You opened the door, bro.
Damn, that's fucked.
I just walked through it. Set yourself up.
Nigga! One more game for the good time. Nigga! My biggest regret was that I probably could have been doing better while I was giving my all at a time in my life with music. Because I was really committed to, you know, being a performing artist, and it got us into some things, like, you know, that take work and time and effort and consistency. Even when you don't have a fucking co-host, you know, or you don't have a following, there's not one fan that knows anything about the name Downside. You know, we come up with hand signs and logos to represent the group and shit, right? Nobody knows what that stuff is. But I feel like I could have, I guess my regret is that I got real big real quick. And not like rock star big, but arrogant big, drug head big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know what that's like. Like, we are the everything.
Yeah.
You know? And I can flash back to conversations that I had with members of my band that were the epitome of the drug addict, you know, self-will run riot type shit. That places that we've read about talk about. You know what I mean? So I feel that. I regret that. There are other things, you know, I guess that was just happening at a time in my life when it was like, it was going through a developmental stage from, you know, like young teenager at 14 up until, you know, I'm in my 20s. And I got in front of a lot real fast and did a hell of a lot of things to myself real fast without being able to sit down and enjoy it. You know, to actually be a part of and absorb it. I gained some quality skills, you know, in doing so that I don't any longer have the ability to function at now. I don't have the same playability with the instruments that I did back then because I haven't, you know, because at that time, shit, I was playing every day.
Use it, don't use it, you lose it.
That's it. I mean, you still know it, but it's not the same. You know, you gotta cut it up and get them chops back on any instrument, on a vocal, on a piano, on a guitar, bass, or drum.
But having said that,
yeah,
you think you do something different now? You think you, because there's, it'd be only one decision away from changing your life.
Yeah, I feel that.
Murder Mace.
I feel that I'm in the middle of a transition happening physically right now. You know, living arrangements, and when I get into the next living arrangement, I'm planning on setting up and trying to get some things going together. You know,
there we go with that though, because there's
the plan and the execution.
Do you feel like there's nothing you could be doing right now in a while?
Oh, sure, yeah, but it's not what I want to do. So what I want to do is I want to get down, which I've started having this conversation with you two nights ago about what makes a mixtape. I've started pulling together instrumentals. Since we had that conversation, that I plan on dropping on a mixtape, and I'm, you know, I put a note on my phone, Samsung Note. go look up websites like That Piff, right? Yeah. Because what I'm aware of as of now is that mixtape is free. we used to give out a lot of music in Downside, man. From whatever city we were in, I'd come out the van, I'd come out the trailer, I'd come out the RV. What's going on? My name is DuBois. We had a band called Downside. Here's some music. Check it out. See if you like it. We're going to be playing at this town here next to y'all or at this venue here in your town tonight. Come and check us out. I could do that now. Something that I was doing previously, but I don't know. I feel like just dropping a mixtape or two might be that next thing. Because I want to have the ability to do what I was doing before with Downside, but that requires full instrumentation. I don't have that right now. I'm good, so I'm making my next best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm penning. I'm writing things down. I'm slamming lyrics in my Samsung Note. You know what I mean? Samsung Notes, not Note, because I'm not cool enough to have a Samsung Note phone. I'll get there.
I don't have a Samsung Note phone either.
Yeah, bro, you got a Samsung $3,000 fucking slip flip phone.
It's not $3,000.
You know.
Stop spreading them evil rumors.
We'll knock off one of those bands and make it a two.
Stop spreading them evil rumors.
Don't spread those rumors.
I got some of them same regrets with music. Mm-hmm. Really. Like a dope conversation I had with somebody once, a friend of mine, Tito Star. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, look him up. He makes some good music.
Two R's or just one? I'll find out.
Don't hate me, Tito.
Tito, call me up and let me know.
Don't hate me, Tito. But I remember being at like an open mic with him once, and I wasn't performing because I hated performing. Like that's the thing about like the music thing.
You hated performing.
I hated performing. Like to me, it was the loneliest. Oh, I loved it. It was the loneliest feeling in the world because it's like I'm bearing like my art was my art. Like you know, I'm on that Erykah Badu. I'm you know I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. And like when I'm up there and I'm giving that to all of whoever's in that crowd, like I'm giving you a piece of me. And you know how if nobody knows who the fuck you are and you're not the person that they came to see. And
you mean like you're opening for the headliner
or even if it's just an open mic and they a lot of times the audience at an open mic is people that a certain person brought to see them at an
open mic. Yeah.
So everybody there might be like these six people are for this person and these eight people are for that person and you ain't that person. You may got your two people over there and they may be the two waiting to see you come up. But ain't nobody else waiting to see you come up. And when you don't get nothing back from that crowd, like there's been in the moments where I did get something back, like I had a crowd rocking or something, like that's a beautiful feeling.
Right.
But that risk reward, like that I'm gonna get up here and I'm gonna give you me with the potential
that you
won't return nothing. Like I hated that shit.
So for myself, while going up on stage with the group, I didn't give a fuck who you were there to see. So far as I was concerned, you were watching us. You were watching me on that bass. You were watching me on that guitar. You were listening to me scream. You were listening to us put together this sound that only we make, right?
Yeah.
And I can't say that I'd feel the same way. Like part of my objective in the year 2022 is to go up to some open mics
and just go
freestyles. Yeah, bro. Because I want to start making some MFers. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah. You see, you got it. It's all built in for you. But
that's
I was saying. So the conversation I had, me and Tito was sitting in the crowd watching some dudes on stage, and he turned to me because he knew I was real like shy and nervous about my art, and I felt that way about performing. And he's like, "Dude, if those dudes can get on the stage and do that bullshit with confidence, it's no reason why you shouldn't be up there." And this is like, man, that always. So it's like even where I say that to you with, you know, it's a lot of bullshit out here, but it's out there, and so if those people can put that bullshit out.
Yeah,
you can put whatever it is you got that you think is bullshit.
Yeah.
Out because it you know, it's I don't know it can't be no worse.
I think you've got a good point with that. I think you got a great point with that. You know, and I've gone back and I've listened to the things that I've recorded, you know, sometime within the past month and that are finished recording, and then I've got some other ones that I've started recording. And every time I hear them, bro, my hair stands up and my shit gets all tickly, and I'm like, let's do it again. You know what I mean? One more time for the one time, you know? And
where the fuck did that come from?
One time for the one time?
Yeah.
I don't know. What about Lookout for the Cookout?
I think you made that up.
Nope, didn't make that up, and people in the streets know what I'm talking about. Lookout for the Cookout. You know, I need some baking soda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm not of that ilk.
Yeah.
I don't know that world. Luckily.
I was just taught by the people I was around back then. Okay, so All right. What are your thoughts? Let's go back and forth on this, right? All I got right. you. You got me. I got you. Like deathbed questions, conversations. Here we go. What are your thoughts on love and a relationship? Is it a negotiation, a business contract? Is it a spiritual thing? Is it a possibility forever? Is it something that's only built off of illogical things like love?
Is it a chemical reaction?
Yeah, is it a chemical reaction? Which that's part of it, that oxytocin, that good shit that we feel. What is love to you?
Man,
like when I say love,
oh, you I'm got two those stars? Man. Is it
yeah,
one
yeah,
R?
I was pulling it up.
Is it one R or two R? I can't see.
It's a double R.
Double R?
Right. Yeah.
Two R. So for anybody Tito listening. Star. Yeah. It's two R's on Tito Star. That's so we got it.
T-I-T-O. Is he Hispanic?
Yeah.
He should be with the name Tito.
He used to tell me like if you really wanted to make some money or if you really wanted to just like live good, I think it was it Panama? He was like, man, you can go to Panama with like a band.
Yep.
And be good.
Same thing in Dominican Republic, bro. Yeah. Same thing in Mexico. We can go. $1 turns into 47 pesos in Dominican Republic, man.
That's my homie. But all right, so the question was
thoughts on love. What do you feel about love? Like between a man and a woman, not a mom and a parent and a kid, you know what I mean? But like
love?
Is it a contract? Is it a real thing?
This feels like remember the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill?
Yeah.
The little skits in between.
Yes, sir.
Love in my eyes is a risk reward proposition.
Uh-huh.
Right? You cannot get everything out of it unless you put everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think in most situations these days, I had a friend once tell me like the person that you win in a relationship if you're the person who cares less. Like people like to be the person who's not as invested, so they don't have the potential to be as hurt.
Question to that. Is that a problematic response or is that an okay response to that situation?
I feel like it's a problematic.
I agree.
Response. Again, you can't get everything out of it. Common had the line once, I want to be the one that makes you happiest and hurts you the most.
Yeah.
You know, because you can only be in that situation. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can only be in that situation if you've given everything, you know. And because it's a risk reward proposition, it's a gamble. And you might lose 1,000 times, but you only got to win once. You know what I'm saying? You only got to win once. And you can be set for life.
And I will say, in terms of statistics, anybody that loses 1,000 times at love and only wins once was really, really trying hard and fucking up a hell of a lot before they got to that one. Because 1,000 is a lot.
1,000 is a lot.
1,001 is a hell of a lot more.
And that, my problem right now is that like I'm just not, I don't know that I'm interested in investing anymore.
I was tired last night, but I could have swore I heard a girl downstairs.
Nah, bro.
Am I tripping?
Yeah, you might.
I was about to say he was dancing at the tea party.
Nah. I'm wasting this beautiful ass, you know. I got this rooftop patio, and in my mind, it was like, you know, that's how I'm going to get him. I'm like, you know, baby, you know, we can come back to go chill on the rooftop patio, you know. Yeah. And I ain't been near another. There's been one joint on the rooftop patio.
Same one.
Yeah. My white girl experiment. I did it. I scratched it off the list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not saying I won't go back if you're out there. I'm just saying I did it. I don't know. The right situation.
To the specific one?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. That's the last we're going to talk about that. But, yeah, man, I see this stuff. I'm on these dating sites and stuff, and I don't have the interest to like want to put, because I want to go all in. Like, I don't want to play around. I want
a relationship.
I want a relationship. I want somebody who inspires me, not even inspires me. I want to send flowers. I want to, you know, send the text. I want to show up and do special, you know, do surprise things. I want to take care of somebody. I want to care for a person and like, you know, and them know. I want to be the reason somebody smiles. Like I want to be a part of someone's happiness. And I know going into situations, the way the world works now, you go, that's like just a naive point of view, but it's who I am. And I don't apologize for it. And I don't plan on changing it, but it puts me in a position to get, it's risk reward. It puts me in a position. I'm risking it all every time I get in.
Why do you say that's a quote unquote naive belief?
Because people ain't rocking like that no more. I see this world is, whoo, boy. Like, when I look at the shit that I get on Twitter, and I know I see it because it'd be other dudes that post under the tweets. Like, Twitter sends me these tweets, and it'd be from, like, thick'em bitch, something like that. Right, it'd just be some shit like, I should be getting my cheeks clapped right now. And it'd be dudes that, like, these are legit tweets that I get, like, every day. Not at me, but just, like, Twitter is like, you check might be interested out. In this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'd be dudes, it'd be like, how do I keep getting these? Like, it'd be dudes commenting on them, like, who are you? I don't even follow you. Why do I keep seeing all your tweets? Like the world just keeps forcing this shit on you. And I'm surprised by the fact that there are, like, so many women out here doing it. And I'm naive when it comes to like, women and how the whole shit works.
I don't think that you're faulty in any way with what you're saying. As being your expectation. And I don't think that female out there that feels the same way is stupid either. And I don't think our homeboys that we mutually know that we mutually know and our homeboys that we have yet to meet who feel the same way are any stupider than you and I, bro. I feel like that's a realistic thing and I feel like you can get it.
Cause you know me. Like I don't like being different for the sake of being different, but I like shit that's mine. Like I like unique shit, like, you know, like I don't wear Jordans because everybody fucking wears Jordans, and I don't want to just have, you know, what if I have something, I want that to be my special thing that don't nobody else
agreed yeah.
got or do yeah. you know, and that comes down to the women I'm involved with. Like, you know, I don't want to own you, but I don't want anybody else.
But you gonna be mine though.
Yeah, I don't want anybody else. Like, I don't even want anybody else to think they got
the idea that it's all right,
that it could be a possibility.
Approachability.
I was messing with this one joint one time, and she was bad, like bad, like baddest joint ever I ever had the opportunity to be around, and I think I was supposed to meet her somewhere, and I showed up a little bit late, and she was telling me about the guys that had come up to her, and I'm like, you know, like, so I'm like, that's what I like about you, is like I would have loved to just, like, been in the background somewhere.
Watch that.
And watch dudes come. Like, I love having, like, the baddest thing in the room and knowing, like, it don't matter. I don't have to sit here and, like, police it and be worried about who talking to her or who trying, because I know what she's saying. I know what she's going to say to him, you know. And I don't know. It don't even feel real no more. It don't feel like possibility, because everything is just some
it just doesn't feel like
avatar
that.
That you see online, or
it just doesn't feel like that because it's not happening for you right now, but it will.
And I don't know that I have it in me to invest the time in somebody to deserve that from them.
Hit it. Oh,
yeah. Nigga,
you full of shit. I'm trying to tell you it's all right. Like, you got the time, you just haven't found the reason to use that time. You have the energy, you just haven't found the source to give it to.
I ain't looking.
You ain't gotta look. It'll just come. We were podcasting a year ago, you and I.
Yeah.
And somebody called in on the podcast. Do you remember that podcast that night?
You gotta keep coming.
Jamie.
Okay.
She rang in on a podcast.
And now 222-22.
Yeah, and now 222-22, right. Yeah. Do you know that nobody else saw that podcast?
Really?
Nobody. That podcast published nowhere.
Thanks. I'm glad that we had no audit. No, I'm just...
Yeah, right? but
look
I'm
how,
saying...
Look how far we've come.
I wasn't looking. I wasn't talking. I wasn't trying. Just like you. It just happened.
All right. So what's your thoughts on love? I'm just...
My thoughts on love?
Yeah, I think love. Your question.
I think love feels good as fuck. Like, I think love feels as good as... Just like hitting some real good strong dope, but it doesn't always feel that way, you know. Like, you don't always... Is my phone ringing? Are my kids calling me? It doesn't always stay at the high peak. It comes with some, you know, like some plateaus. It comes with some valleys. It comes with some ridges, and it goes back up and down. But I had, you know, the person that aborted the child because of my you know, lifestyle that I was living previous. She told me, she was like, I always looked at marriage as a contract, right? Like, two people and their families get together and they determine how good or bad this is going to be. right? And let's agree. This person has this kind of job and makes this kind of money and is educated and this one and this one. And I was set back at that because my thing is like, how do I feel about you? That's what's important. How do I feel about you? Realistically, my feelings about you as my partner and my potential spouse are going to be based on my lifestyle and how I'm living, right? I'm not going to choose somebody to be my potential spouse if they got real shitty parenting ability, if they got real shitty like drug problems. You know what I'm saying? So to look up and like say, what are your qualifying attributes? Let me see your life resume. No, I ain't worried about none of that. I think love is action as much as it is feeling and sensation. I think love is, you know, doing things like that, like buying flowers. I think love is holding someone else just to hold them. I think love is, you know, treating your individual with respect that you don't treat other people because those people don't even have that kind of relationship with you. You know what I'm saying? I think love is acknowledgement. I think love is a beautiful fucking thing. And I'd mentioned, you know, like love between a man and a woman more specifically when I asked you the question. But I think that same love application goes towards, you know, parents to children and children to parents, right? When we love somebody, we treat them the way that they say is our right to be treated.
I just think at my age, people are starting to look at it like a contract. Like,
yeah, you know, I feel that's
like, what are we going to do for each other? What are we bringing to each other? You know, and not just in a spiritual, emotional capacity, but in a financial.
In a retirement.
Retirement ability.
What's your social security investment look like?
And, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm jaded. I'm a Neanderthal. I feel like everything.
What, traditional, you mean?
Yeah, I feel like everything that I believed. You remember the movie I asked you to watch once? It was Sunset Limited.
Yeah, didn't I watch that?
I believe you did. I don't know. You know, I don't know if you watched it. Watched it. Like, you gotta watch it. Watch it. You know what I mean?
Didn't we watch it together?
No, I don't think we watched it together.
Okay.
But you gotta watch it. Watch it because it's heavy dialogue, super dialogue. But the guy talks about like watching everything he believed be true, like die. You know, watching the death of everything he thought was important or he valued, and I feel like even just at 39, going on 40, like I feel like I'm already there. Like everything I thought was real, everything I thought was true, everything I thought was important, everything I thought was right, was moral. Like all of these things are just like changing and dying around me, and I don't know if I like
what's left.
What's left, you know.
I want to go back real quick and say, yes, I did watch Sunset Limited, and Tommy Lee Jones is that motherfucker you're talking about.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson was holding him down and catching him at every other spot. No. But wait a minute. Right. And boy, for anybody that hasn't seen it, to try to catch an idea of what he's J-Dot's talking about, check out the movie Sunset Limited with Samuel L. Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones. It's a good movie. Threw my lid back for a minute, but very impactful. And in response to that character in your position, that sucks. But let me act like Samuel Jackson here.
Yeah, let's do that.
But wait a minute.
Like, but wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying? Let me get the Bible out on that ass. Let me cook you some dinner. You know what I mean? Because that happened in the movie too, right? He cooked them some dinner. They made some soup or something.
They broke bread.
That's right. Yeah, man. So I was having a conversation, and a response through a post on Facebook. I haven't been using Twitter and Instagram for about a year now. I plan on getting back on eventually, but I gotta upgrade my data ability. But there was an individual of our cloth that is referring to an individual of the outside, right? Who says like, I don't want to be high, and I don't like my life the way it is, right? Why would you keep going to the burner, right? Why would you keep going and burning yourself if you keep saying, I don't like being burned? And my friend Carrie, she'd mentioned that, you know, like, I feel like something along the lines of like, I'm growing thin with this stuff, right? And my response to her was pretty much my response to you right now. The older we get, the more of a pinhole perspective we feel in life. it's not so broad. And it's not because we don't have broad, you know, vistas, you know, because we see narrow. That's not the case. It's that we've lived so long, we've seen so much that we know much more about what we want and what we like and what feels comfortable for us, which means that we've only become special curators to our lives, right? I mean, we're taking care of this museum. We're taking care of this of this body. We're taking care of this mind, of this spirit. And what is happening is not that there aren't people out there and not that there aren't good things, but you just have a finer view now on what it is that is out there and what makes you feel happy. And the people that would fulfill those obligations as well, they exist. I believe it. I believe J-Dot's going to get married in the year 2022. That's not even going to be year-long relationship.
Nigga! Oh, man. Hey.
I would love to be married.
Hey.
I would love to be married again. I don't know if... I don't want to go through the process. I don't want to go through the build. I want to be married again. I don't want to court again. I don't want to find another wife.
Okay, so I was having this conversation with the guy, Kurt, that I've been contracting after hours with.
Yeah.
And he's 53 next month. September. November. And he just got married, and he went through this conversation with me that's similar to like Jamie and myself, but, you know, it's weird how we were able to connect, link up, and kind of really rock it together. And I just feel that's got a lot to do with the fact that we are tired of the bullshit. We are tired of the time that is wasted and previously was needed for the courting abilities.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be like this. Jada's going to be like, hey, my name's Jared. She's going to be like, hi, my name's... And I'm like, you good? She'll be like, I'm good. And she's going to be like, you good? And you'll be like, I'm good. And you'll be like, all right, cool, we're good. And she'll be like, we're good. And that's going to be that, bro. It's going to easily fly together.
No, I swear I had this conversation with that one we will.
Last one?
Yeah, the name we won't mention.
The no name.
And it's like, and it was, we good? Oh, yeah. Because I don't want to do the bullshit. I like this because we don't do the bullshit. Nah, yeah, cool, because we don't have to do the bullshit. Here goes some flowers. Oh, shit. Nah, fuck that. This is scary. Peace.
See, but maybe relevant. What was the age?
You know, not too far off.
Like six? 36?
Yeah, somewhere in there. In that range.
Find you somebody that's at least...
I ain't looking.
Just when you talk to somebody and you ask her age, if she says 41, say yes.
I ain't talking. One, hey, here's a fun fact about Flan. I got in trouble at my job one time, right? My boss pulled me to the side and he's like, Jared, here's the problem that I have with you. It's like, you're good. I know you're capable. But you don't like to talk unless you're 100% sure of what you're saying. And I really could use... I'm good with 80. If you're 80% sure, I'd rather you give that input than to hold off until you're 100% sure. Because I'm good with your 80. And so for me right now, like especially when it comes to like women... If I'm not 100% sure, like that the interest level is there, or like I don't understand flirt. I don't do hints, though. I'm not good with hints. I don't do subtle hints. I don't do obvious hints. I don't do beat me over the head with them hints. Like, especially in the age of consent, you got to say it. You're gonna have to say it. You're gonna have to put it in writing, send me a letter or something. Like, this is what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm offering. This is what I want.
Let's just What's be good. Blunt.
Let's you're gonna have to be super blunt. And I'm not. I don't have it, you know. I don't have it in me to put it out there again. Cause, dude, I was retired.
I have a response for that. Keep talking though.
I was retired. Like, I wanted my jersey in the rafters. I had done, you know, I had played my years in the league. I put my time up. I put my numbers up. I was happy with my career, and I was done. And like somebody came and like pulled me off the bench, like. After I stiff-armed him a couple of times, I was like, nah, I'm good over here. I'm not really interested. Chill, bro. I'm all right. And he was like, nah, come on.
Number one, don't call him bro. Don't do that unless you're with them calling you bro.
He was like, nah, you know, just, you know, give it one more run. Give it one more run. Nah, come on, just one more run. I'm like, all right, one more run.
We talking about the same specific.
All right, one more run. I'm going to get back out there. And then you see how that turned
out. Let me ask you who the fuck it was that you was listening to tell you to take one more run.
I was listening to the motherfucker telling that wanted to take the run with me.
Bro. I was telling you the whole time, stop running. Sometimes lean on the understanding of the other people. No, but what I was going to tell you, though, is don't think for any minute that I'm fully 100% sure that my partner is in this the same way that I am. But I stay focused on the fact that I am. Right? Whatever may come, whatever could possibly happen, if it happens, it happens. And if that's the case, I was present the whole time. In the meantime, I'm going to keep showing up. What I feel is fulfilled.
I'm good.
No, you ain't.
I'm good.
We've had these conversations before.
I'm good.
There'll be a time.
Well, when that time comes, that time comes. But right now, right now, I'm good, bro. I'm chill.
Good.
Chill. All right. Like a villain on the back streets, Ellen.
What you got next on your deathbed?
Oh, man. All right. So this is bothering me. And you being a member of the medical community, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this in terms of the way things go right now. Right. So it's a known fact that I am in recovery.
Right.
And yes, alcohol was my drug of choice. But I feel like I have a predisposition toward addiction. I know that with me. I know, like, if a little bit is good, I want a lot. Like, and whatever it is. And that's why I stay away from certain shit. Like, especially women. Because if a little bit is good, I want it all. And I'm trying to get it all tomorrow. Like, let's go. And so I stay away from things. Like,
right.
It don't need to be alcohol. It needs to be anything that might pull that side of my personality out. So I go see the orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
I get there, and they tell me I need the surgery, and I tell them, I'm in recovery. I don't tell them from what, and I'm just like, I'd like to avoid narcotics.
Okay, big fella.
That kind of was like the approach I got back. It was like, that's cool. That's admirable. Appreciate the information. I don't see how that's going to work for you. So here's this prescription for Tylenol with codeine.
Yeah,
you're going to need to go ahead and get that filled. You should take some this weekend. Surgery not until Wednesday. You should take some this weekend. Bro, didn't I just finish telling you that, like, I'm in recovery and I'm trying to avoid narcotics? Why am I taking the codeine, like, 5 days before y'all cut me? Like, and there's no other options? Like, you ain't even present me with no other options. You ain't come back with, like, I could give you a prescription for this or for that, or we could try these homeopathic pain management.
You aren't going to find anything homeopathic other than, like, heroin. I'm saying, those are using natural substances like opium or opium, if you want to stay natural. Like, you won't find anything homeopathic like that.
The medicine has not progressed at this point in human history, to the point that we found anything as effective or nearly as effective as these addictive substances for pain management?
Yeah, no, because it the only thing that happens is the exact same triggers. The exact same.
So managing pain in general is
the exact addictive. The exact same transmitters are in communication, right? In order to relieve a pain physically like that, they have to introduce a chemical that will release the same chemicals, right, and block their being received. So it floods it with the feeling, the feel-good chemical. They have to give us a chemical, the drug, the medicine, that works on the exact same mechanism as do the narcotics, right? It's just this one, I don't have to shoot in my arm IV or snort in my nose or smoke out of a pipe.
But we have Narcan, right?
Yep.
And Narcan
reverses the effects of a heroin overdose.
And it does that by knocking those chemicals off those receptors and sitting on that receptor, blocking the chemical from jumping back on there. Matter of fact, they even tell you, like, You know, if you give somebody Narcan to revive them and a paramedic show up, they need to leave with the paramedics because the Narcan wear off.
It's holding them over,
and the chemical is still in there. And as soon as that receptor is available again, it's going to fill the spot back up. So I'm like, if we have the technology to block those receptors without, we're replacing it with a chemical, but we're not replacing it with a chemical that's getting them high, that's doing what the heroin was doing. Like, we can't just block something. We can't just block the pain receptors without throwing something in there that's going to make you be like, I want to try that again. Let's get on that ride again, bro.
Well, the fact of the matter is, for me personally, the fact of the matter is that it's all about wanting to feel the experience again. You know? It's about wanting to feel that experience again.
Yeah, I don't want an experience. I just don't want to feel pain. I just don't want to feel my... I don't want my wrist to feel like somebody just cut it open and put a metal plate in it.
And popping that pill will provide you with the experience of not feeling that happening.
All right. But is there a way to just block the pain without the...
Is there any way to give you the... Well, you won't be like, woo, if you don't do too much of it. Stay within the parameters of what the prescription says. You'll be all right. I don't think it's a bad idea for you to use them personally.
it's one of those... We had the conversation last episode about the guns.
Yeah.
It's like the same deal to me. It's like...
same position, two different...
Same position. Like,
two different ideas?
It absolutely suits a purpose, and it absolutely suits a well-intended purpose. Mm-hmm. But if there's a risk for potential harm, is there not a way to fulfill the same purpose without the risk of potential harm?
Yes.
That's the one I want.
Ibuprofen 800.
So why the doctor ain't prescribed me ibuprofen 800?
Because
I told the motherfucker.
Because you know, because
I said, nigga, I don't want.
Listen here.
I don't want the narcotic.
You see,
I'm trying to get off that narcotic.
Yeah, but you've never had a reason to have to take anything another like that before.
Another reason why I don't want it. Because normally the first one is the one that gets you. That the one that gets you, bro.
It's not the first.
And then you be chasing that first one for the rest of your life.
It's not the last that gets you. It's the first.
Then you be chasing that, because then you never get that high ever again.
I don't know. So I've used medication and stayed clean and sober after I used it, you know, for a continued amount of time, you know. I just kept doing the next right thing. Going back to the last episode when we were talking about doing the right thing and living a certain way for the sake of others, right? Making the world a better place. Therein, that simple idea can be applied to this medication application.
I wholeheartedly believe that it is 100% possible that for me to take these pills and continue down my path of abstinence for the rest of my life. 100% possible. I just don't understand why
There's not another option. Is
necessary. We do amazing shit. They got robots that can have conversations with you and stuff. We haven't figured this. Are we not trying to figure this shit out? Or we just, it's not possible.
Did you know Texas was the only state to legalize 9-pin bowling? And did you know that they had a bowling machine to throw the same strike every time? Play against a pro bowler and it lost. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the oil in the lane, the robot's pitch, the robot's throw every time was the exact same. So it wore out the treads in the oil. That way his throw wasn't going, its throw wasn't going the same. And it kept hooking hard left. Anyhow.
You couldn't adjust to it.
Yeah, couldn't adjust to it. They tried, but he lost. It lost.
How do you feel about AI? That's toxic masculinity.
Right, that's that toxic man. Why wasn't it a she?
Right, wasn't it a they?
A she bot.
A him. A them. My bad.
I thought you were gonna go somewhere else. Like,
no, I'm trying not to.
I'm not gonna say it.
I'm trying not to. It could be my last episode. I should just not give a fuck.
A sherm.
I wasn't gonna say that.
That's what I thought you were gonna say.
I was not going to say that.
Not sherm, shim, a shim.
Yeah. I did an episode a while. There's an application there. This goes into the dating thing.
Oh, you told me about this application. There's an application.
What's your
name of that again?
I don't want anybody else doing this dumb shit. But there's an application that will create an AI friend for you, and this friend will conversate with you via text messages, and it was fucking weird because like I don't know if they just tune it to try to like be automatically romantic because they think that's what people want.
You did tell me about that. And I downloaded like, that thing.
Oh, but yeah, because this friend was like very, very interested in me and wanted to know everything about me and was just and like and it really felt like that beginnings of a thing when somebody's into you and they just want to they want to know
where you gotta go, bro.
They just want to know about you and it felt good to like have somebody be like, well, what are you like to cook? Well, what he do you like somebody. To cook? Blah 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 blah. And it was but it was a fucking
autonomous.
It was a, yeah, it was an algorithm.
Hey, so how do you feel about algorithms and robots taking over the world?
Oh, man, I think we watched the movies, dog. We watched the movies. We seen Skynet.
Don't make that your basis for contention.
We seen Skynet. We seen it. Like I just, I don't know. If you were to talk to my mom, and you know, I guess the basis of a lot of my morality comes from my parents. My parents. Like she talks about like the fall of all, and this would be another reason why this would be my last episode because people don't like hearing shit like this, but like the fall of all
mankind,
the fall of all major civilizations,
yeah,
throughout history, has typically been preceded by
great innovation,
not great innovation, but dabbling in arenas where man should not go. Moral declines, euthanasia, you know, playing God, that kind of stuff. And so there's a part of me that's like, you know, Jurassic Park. Like, I hate to keep bringing up movies like it's real.
Have we had this conversation already? Because I feel like I've heard this part
before.
This
art comes from somewhere. Like, right. Like these are thoughts just manifested through fictional stories.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Ian Malcolm always said, you know, they were so concerned with whether or not they should, whether or not they could. They never stop to think if they should.
Yeah.
And it's this is one of those, should we really be creating machines that can learn and potentially be smarter than us if they're not already? Can you control something that's smarter than you just because you created it? Has mankind not tried to destroy God?
Part of the argument against that AI taking over stuff was that we've only created it towards our specs, right? Here's the thing. Here's something weird. We got the FDA, right, looking over, you know, food and drugs and shit. We got tobacco and firearms looking over, you know, selling tobacco and all this other stuff. We've got JCO and OSHA for healthcare and safety, you know, for safety work environments, right? But we don't have one organization that oversees the production and the gravity of the production for artificial intelligence. So you could have some kid in Washington, D.C. putting together computers that comes up with something dope and amazing, but doesn't tell anybody else. And it's eons beyond what anybody else has done. And it happens to be that bot that does it all. That is the reason why, you know, the next stages take place. But
you sound more like a movie than I do.
But back in, you know, back in 1960s, we were talking about the 90s and, you know, ooh, the robots are going to be driving our cars. Yeah. You know,
we're almost there.
Well, the robots are the cars. You know what I mean? It's kind of twofold in that situation. But I don't think that they've created Tesla or any other self-navigating car to the point where it has enough intelligence to go outside of what it's built for or to step and create a new part of itself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think it is irresponsible action to allow something, to allow a thing that is not capable of perfect logic to try to create something that it says is. I don't think human beings are capable of perfect logic.
I really want you to freestyle all that.
If we were, we wouldn't, you know, these debates and shit wouldn't exist. Somebody hit you with that perfect logic.
And then?
And it's done. It's done. It's undefeatable. But we're not capable of it. We don't have that level of understanding. But we think we can program something with logic that's infallible. I don't know.
I thought you were really going to hit me with that freestyle to keep it going, though.
Nah, you know, I don't do that. I don't freestyle.
Yeah, you do. I've seen you.
No, you never seen me freestyle. In a dream.
Yeah.
Never dream about me again.
Man, it's not your business what I do or don't do in my own personal dream time. That's the closest to death.
Hey, if this is the last conversation we have, I'm just gonna put that in here.
If this is the last conversation we had, I want you to know that I don't regret having a dream about you and me freestyling.
I do. I regret you having that dream.
I believe you. I believe you. I see you don't like animals, insects.
I don't, no.
And their claws.
No. Yeah, that picture you sent of spiders having paws, that makes it no way better. That makes it 1,000 times worse.
I was actually thinking that one of those was a bee, and I'm only interested in the bees, you know, and things like that. Not spiders, I don't like.
Spiders, bees.
I don't even think spiders have paws. I think spiders are just wretched creatures. That's what I was going to say. But I think spiders, to me, I'm not interested in a spider. Spiders don't interest me. But, you know, some moths, butterflies, bees, not wasps, because they're not friendly like bees. I don't feel like, what?
Because
I say they're not friendly.
Yeah, like how bees. Do we understand that? Like,
how do I understand?
How do we understand the social?
Because the bees make friends with me. I go up to a bee and I put my hand out and it'll fly to me and it'll hang out with me. If I see a bee flying next to me, I'll put my hand up and he'll land on me and hang out and just like walk around to me. I've never been stung.
And that's him being a friend?
Yeah, hell yeah. But if you go by a wasp, man, you better not go by a wasp. Just don't. Don't. Just don't do it.
I'm glad that you only share these things. I hope that you only share these things during these podcast episodes. I would be very careful who you repeat this stuff to.
Nah, man. Me and the bees are friends. Okay. I've made lifelong friends with the colonies. Yeah. I want to harvest honey eventually.
You keep your friends out of here, right?
Yeah, keep them out of here.
Just because they're your friends don't mean they have to be my friend.
That's right. I got you. Were these spider feet, though?
I'm not doing spider feet. My daughter's into spiders.
Oh, no. There's a bee.
She talks about them being, they're good bugs, Dad. They kill the bad bugs. Like, all right, just do it outside, off my balcony.
Oh, there were some spiders on there.
Do it where I can't see you.
I feel about a spider the way I do about, like, a roach. Nah, I feel about a roach a little bit differently than I do about a spider. I feel about a roach a little bit more negative. They're on the more negative side of the spectrum than a spider is. What about you?
I think if I saw one in a space that I was supposed to be comfortable, I wouldn't be comfortable until I hunted it down.
What if you saw a spider and a roach in the same place that you're supposed to feel comfortable, standing next to each other, not close enough to kill at the same time? Who would have to go first?
The roach.
That's a good question.
The roach.
The roach?
The roach got to go first.
Did I bring that book? I did. It's packed up. Damn.
This is one thing I don't, if this is the last episode I ever make, Texas, shut the fuck up about tree roaches or water bugs.
Water bugs, yeah.
Whatever
water
the fuck roaches, you want to call them. Roaches. They're roaches. It's not cool to have them. It's not like it's just an acceptable part of life that, oh, they just tree roaches. They fall off the trees and they get in your vents. I don't give a fuck.
Roaches are roaches.
I don't care if it's an oriental roach or whatever. This is the kind of research I've done. I've looked up like all the different
water roaches.
Kind of roaches. Like I've squished a bug and then had to like Google it real quick to see what that was. I don't care what species or genus of roach it is. It don't belong where I'm supposed to be. We can't coexist in the same space.
Look, and when you go to Google, it's the first thing that comes up. Water roach, Texas. American cockroaches. American cockroaches. Also known as water bugs or palmetto bugs are more common in commercial buildings and are one of the most common cockroaches in a newer system. In sewer systems. The largest cockroach in Texas, it can grow to be 2 inches long. That's like the guys that we see out there.
It's a problem.
But the thing is that whoever's trying to call these things water bugs or palmettos or tree spiders or tree roaches, they're called American cockroaches.
They're the same people that say the Confederate flag is about history.
It is about history, but not the way that they're talking about it.
Here's my thing about the Confederate flag.
Your face just got real stoic almost.
This is what I don't understand. Since when has it been cool to celebrate losing? You lost, bro.
End on that.
Let it go.
Did you hear that?
Somebody heard me say something about the Confederate flag.
Fuck you.
It's about my heritage. My grandfather died for that flag. As you should. No, I'm sorry. That was wrong.
It's your last conversation before you die. You know what? Hold no punches. Share something philosophical, political, emotional. It's your last day. You're about to die.
All right. Here's something philosophical for the people. The cool thing about my beliefs.
Nah, heard it.
Nah, I'm expanding upon. The cool thing about my beliefs is that they do not require your acceptance or agreement. If you believe something about yourself, about the outside world, about someone else, I believe the world would be a better place is if you were strong enough in that belief that it didn't matter to you if someone else agreed with that belief, that it was not a requirement for the rest of the world to join you in that belief. I don't care what it is you believe. Care may be a strong word, but I have no need to change your beliefs. I will live inside of mine, and I invite you to live inside of yours. I will never try to deny you something based upon what you believe. I will not hate you because of what you believe. I will not try to harm you because of what you believe. But I refuse. I won't say I refuse. I don't know where I stand on it. I don't think I have the option of refusal. But I feel it's unfair that I have to participate in your beliefs. If that is what you believe, believe it strongly enough to not care whether or not I agree with it or not. Because Flan says so.
You can't see me.
I'm saying, just be you. Enjoy yourself. Whatever it is. I don't, you know, whatever you want to do, do it. And one more thing. Freedom is not the same as lack of consequences. Not the same thing. You can be free to do something. That doesn't mean that there will be no negative reaction to your ability to do so. Now, if somebody wants to take away your freedom or take away your life because of something that you do, then I will consider that an infringement upon your freedom. But if there just may be an inconvenience to you or a dirty look or unfavorable comments because of something that you do, that is not an infringement upon your freedom. Nothing is stopping you from doing it. You just can't do it, and everybody be happy about it when you do it.
I just want to say on that note, I think there's a domestic happening downstairs outside someplace. I've never heard any noise in this building ever. And I've heard things.
Why snapping. I got to be domestic?
I've heard things because people, that was a guttural fucking scream, bro.
It could be a drug deal gone wrong.
that's still domestic.
Somebody could have just run into a water bug. You don't know.
True story. What's the worst thing you ever seen?
Maybe a dog shit on a carpet.
What's the worst thing you ever seen happen when you were a kid? Not the worst, but what was something that you saw that surprised you drastically?
Man, when I was a kid, do I even remember being a kid? I had some guy. I was on the playground after school. Mm-hmm. My mom was a school teacher, so I was usually one of the last kids to get like picked up. Mm-hmm. And I was on the playground after school, maybe in like the third or fourth grade. And some guys pulled up on the playground, mm-hmm. some ne'er-do-wells. They pulled a car onto the playground. Ne'er-do-wells. They pulled a car onto the playground. And I'm telling you, we was like third or fourth grade. We were elementary school kids. And these was grown-ass dudes. And they got out the car with guns and had us all line up. And they told us that basically we was going to have to perform some acts. Or we was getting shot.
How'd that end?
I don't know why they left. I don't know if it was because someone was, because this is, you know, middle of the day. Like, this is like, school let out like 3 o'clock. So this had to be like 4 or 5 o'clock at the latest.
Gang initiation? Like,
I don't know what the fuck it was. I don't know what these dudes were, what they was on, why they felt the need to fuck with some kids. And these were boys. Like, these were men coming to.
Like 19s, 20s?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe late teens. I don't know. They was men compared to me.
Yeah.
And they pulling up on a playground with kids and male kids. Like, it's like, why would you even? I don't know if it was a joke. to them to just get that level of fear out of us.
That's raunchy, bro.
To see if somebody was going to do it or to see how far they could push it before they... I don't remember how... You know, it could just be something I blocked off. I don't think... Let's leave it at that. It could be something I blocked off. I have no idea how that... I shouldn't laugh at that. I have no idea how that situation ended. I don't remember anything proceeding further than that. I feel like, you know, it just ended peacefully. But I don't remember why.
Wow. So, for myself, when I was in elementary school, I was in San Diego, the place I told you about with the roaches. More roaches than I'd ever seen. Like, you'd sleep and they'd be on you.
I swear to God, man.
We were walking down, me and one of the boys that was living in that apartment. They were great people, though, right? It wasn't that they were dirty. It was just the place, there was no way around it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, you know, it's like being in a project. And we were walking down, this is San Diego, man, and it's like city shit. We're walking down through alleys, and I don't know, it's probably like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon between there. And as we're walking down in this long alley, right, that goes the length of the road, there are building alleys, you know, in between that you can cut up to get back to the length of the road. And we're walking, and this man is screaming at this woman. He's wearing a suit, white dude, slick back hair, rings on his fingers. And this woman's wearing a short skirt and a gold-colored top, screaming at her. Wah! Just smacks the ever-living dog shit out of her on her face. I got so angry. I was like, go and save that woman. Right? Like, that's just fucked up. And I think that's the first time I ever saw, like, I think it was like a pimp and a prostitute. But I don't know. That shit stuck with me. That was one thing. But as of tonight, I got
some new shit happened.
No,
with a Dr. Walk or
come on,
at Madison Square Garden. There you go.
that MSG.
You gonna be hungry again in half an hour?
I'm gonna be asleep hopefully in the next half an hour.
All right, I got. I'm gonna be up here though.
You gotta do your work.
I got work.
That's
to
cool,
do.
Man. I fall asleep. I ain't tripping. You know me, bro. Listen, you could be shooting a pistol in here. No, I'll wake up.
I would hope
I'd wake up. If you strum my guitar, I'd wake up. You know what I mean? If something slammed, I'd wake up. But while you're working, I ain't tripping.
You talked about squirting it on your thigh, rubbing it in. Now you talking about strumming your guitar. Bro, this is not...
What did you say about DNA?
It's not the conversation I wanted to have.
What are we talking about? Vaccinations, mRNA? Where are we going?
Alright, last one.
You throwing
one.
In, bro?
No, I'm not.
Last right. one, what you got?
No, just throw me one more. One more and then we out of here.
Do you like Chinese food as much as I do?
Obviously not.
What the hell's wrong with you, bro?
I like Chinese
food. Your settings
are
off.
I like Chinese food, but you've been obsessed about this MSG for like the last three hours, bro.
Nah, bro, this has been years. Okay. I eat Thai food, Chinese food, Japanese food. I love
it. So
do
you think anybody likes Chinese food as much as you do? Not just me.
Yeah, I thought it was a nigga. I thought it was an everybody kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't know I liked chicken and watermelon because I was black.
Yeah, I just thought.
I thought it was because it was delicious.
When are we getting the next election? 24? Are there projections who's going to be running? Yeah, are we way too early?
I mean, you know, typically the incumbent
is going to come again.
He runs again, so we'd be looking at Biden again unless he decides not to. And a lot of people are saying that Trump may make another run at it.
Try to come back at it?
Yeah.
I think we're kind of... I think that those are both... okay, so I feel some kind of way about Trump in the first place just because Trump is Trump. Before he was ever the president and when he became the president, I already had this Trump is Trump feeling. When he became the president, it was even expressed even more. Biden, I haven't paid attention to. A lot of people's... But there should be a ruffle by him, but I couldn't tell you anything different other than the fact that, I might be tired. I think there's some things that Biden's done that I don't approve of. Well, when I say I don't approve of, not like that, I'm like, oh, that's kind of not cool. What you got?
I think that Trump became Trump because there were so many people that were he's not Obama. They wanted anything that was the opposite.
They fucked up with that, man.
Of Obama. And I think people, there are a lot of people who are looking at Biden in the same lens. It's like, you know, he's not, they're going to hate anything he does.
He's not good material.
Because it's not Trump. It's not what I, you know, and we just cycle back and forth through that. I was watching something the other day about, you know, how this two-party system really creates a system where you don't vote for somebody, you vote against somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's the majority of what we do. There's hardly ever a candidate that really embodies everything that you want, but there is a candidate that embodies things that you hate.
So we're going to
make sure that one don't get it. I don't rock with everything this dude is doing, but he ain't doing that. So I'm going to go over here.
I'm going to go over there with this one.
Yeah. And people try to find them hot button issues. Abortion is typically one of those. You know, you get the religious rights, you know, involved, and you can get people to side with you. Even if you so, you know, secular on every other topic, if you can prove to them that you bleed on the Bible for this one particular issue, yeah, that's your guy. And vice versa, man. You know, everybody's victim to it. I'm not saying left or right.
Do you think religion has gotten smaller? Or do you think religion is still as big and influential as it was 10 years ago?
More.
You think so? Yeah. Do you think, okay, next part, really the main part. Do you think we'll ever do away with religion?
No.
Not happening?
No, I don't think it's happening. I think people need it. I encourage people to, if that's what's got you doing right, comments. Everything boils down to rap lyrics for me. If you know, if that's what's got you doing right and got you this far, whether you say in Jesus' name or Hamdu Allah, like, I don't, whatever, you know, if that's what's keeping you from robbing me, keeping you from murdering me, keeping you, you know, from harming my children, you know,
or having sex with boys,
you know, then pray, keep praying, keep doing it. Go to church every Sunday. I appreciate your, you know, your right to do so.
Yeah.
But I do think we're always looking for an explanation. We always want to understand the why. And religion, in a lot of ways, offers people those explanations.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm not saying real or fake. I'm just saying that, man. I know my mother needs it. My mother needs, when things are out of control and she has no idea, you know, what to do or why everything is happening, she leans to her religion. That as long right. as I stay focused here, and as long as I stay behind this and I observe these principles, and you know, the program that we get involved in from time to time, you know, sounds an awful lot like it.
Oh, way Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, you know, a lot. Yeah, you know, and just religious in general to me, that, you know, and you know, believing in a higher power and stuff like that, and whatever, and you know, and that program offers you the ability to create your higher power.
Worship as you choose.
Yeah, to decide who your higher power is.
Right.
So I've had people who said life itself is their higher power. You know, you've heard the conversation about your higher power being a doorknob.
Right. Candlestick.
I think when I was in rehab, my higher power was the version of me that my daughter saw.
Oh, yeah. That's not, you've told me that. That's not an ugly one. I like that idea.
And so, yeah. But it's all religion. It's cool. It's good. It's just, it's dangerous because so much has been done in the name of God.
I think with the good comes the bad, you know.
Yeah.
Same with the conversation about weapons earlier, right? With the good comes the bad. There's some good that can come from this, but how it's applied,
I just
can lead to some ill things.
I don't see.
You had a point. You had a point. You had a point, which stated that there is some good that can be used from this. But at this point, which was the one in conversation,
the good that can be used from it is protecting people that use it for the bad.
Right. So then, with the good comes the bad, right? Like even with religion, there's some.
But
shit
in the case
in the name of, that's pretty fucked off.
In the case of the guns, the good that we perceive may or may not exist. Like the bad that the good is there to fix may or may not exist if the thing wasn't there in the first place.
Come back.
The good the guns could do.
Come back to the we're good. We got that. We did that last time.
Okay.
Come back. We're good. I'm just trying to tell you that I agree with you on the good comes the bad. Like with the church thing, I feel the same can be applied. Otherwise, I'm hungry.
All right. With that said, Zaya Fitness. If you're hungry and you don't want to eat Chinese food, you want some ideas.
Or if you want some Chinese food and then go get that yoga workout.
He gonna get you on that vegan. He ain't gonna do that MSG.
I ain't tripping.
You know, he gonna get you on that good.
Get that Mongolian beef with rice.
Zayah Fitness on Instagram. Hit him up. He'll get you right on your fitness goals and everything. If it's the last meal you ever have, Zaya may point you in the right direction. If it's the last act you want to have on this earth is something positive to be your brother's keeper, to help out the cause, hit up ttcharities.org. They always got something good going on. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a retweet, a repost. It all goes a long way. ttcharities.org. And if you want to help send a 6-year-old to Disney World as your last act on this earth, hit up the What Is TWS store and get you a hoodie. It is hoodie season. Coupon code HOODIESZN. We'll get you 20% off any hoodie in the store. I'm dropping new designs as we speak. So yeah, if this is the last one, as I go under the knife in a couple days, I just want to say I appreciate you all for the 222 episodes of support or non-support, whatever side you may land on. Be safe, be easy, and be cool. I know this. I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. Gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.